brought to you by Currency Fair. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. You are very welcome to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSideshow and sideshow.com for the entire back catalogue. A huge thank you to you, well, I guess for listening to the show, but also to you who've gone out and bought the Two-Tone official merchandise, the Two-Tone Murphy, my apologies, official merchandise t-shirts. A big thank you to you so very much. It's slightly unusual, but the people asked, I did the thing, I made them available, and as previously discussed, I guess some of you took the colour that I chose, which was the blue, thank you Fiona, and some of you did what Adrian McMahon did, and you bought a green one. They are available via Sideshow.com. Let's not get stuck on clothing, because winter is slightly coming as well, which doesn't really help me boost sales at all. I'm not really a fashionista, I'll need to discuss this with Fiona Kelly and see where that one goes. Also, I should add, we are indeed sponsored by Currency Fair, currencyfair.com, and at Currency Fair on Twitter. They are the better way to send money abroad and also to save a few quid if you are in the process of, let's say, dealing between one currency and another. They are the people to go to, as you and I would both be aware from listening to the previous episodes with Rob Hardy, with Leah Leendertz, with Perennial, good friends of the show, great friends of the show at this stage of the game. Laura Garnett was on last week. You would be aware. I had to pay my €80 membership for the Garden Media Guild, and also I needed to pay, it's not €80, £80, and another £80 then approximately for the ticket to get me to the Garden Media Guild Awards, where the Sideshow is up for award, would you believe it or not. The saving on that is about €50, just to put in context. So if you are, and if you aren't, if you are thinking about doing that, if you go to sideshow.com, you'll find a little embedded tweet, and it will say something along the lines of free go or a free thingamajigs. They will actually give you a free transfer because you're a friend of the Sideshow. Just go to sideshow.com, look at today's notes, look up David Richardson, Google it if you're doing this in the future, click that baby, set yourself up an account, and they will give you one free trade. Try it with something like €20 and see what happens. It will get you there. And if you're not going to do that, which is entirely understandable, especially if you're my daughter and you're 6 years of age and you trade in pebbles or daisy petals and you decide to put them under your dad's pillow, with some rotten grass. It's not rotten, it's princess grass. And you leave it there and you don't tell me, and I'm away for the weekend. Which also reminds me of the time I stayed in Ben Brace's house when I went to Hampton Court Palace Flower Show. Yep, and she took out all of my shaving gear, toothbrush, aftershave, deodorant, and replaced them with princess stickers. I lead a really varied, checkered life. Anyhow, what have we got on today's show? On today's show, I have David Richardson of the War Graves Commission. The War Graves Commission, the Commonwealth War Graves Commission, to give it its correct title, pays tribute, they note, to the 1,700,000 men and women of the Commonwealth Forces who died in the two world wars. Their website is cwgc.org. They are CWGC on Twitter if you wish to get in touch. If you are walking and you're on the road as well, you know at this stage of the game, because I know some of you, I know, I said that quite high-pitched. Some of you listen to this on your daily commute to work. Some of you, like Tim Hell, went away for a period of 4 weeks and caught up on all of your sideshows last Sunday and decided to tell me about every single one of them all in the one go. Thank you, Tim. It's a genuine pleasure to have you by my side, but you are not on your own, Tim. Fiona Kelly, great friend of the show, she also did something similar and caught up on 4 episodes literally in one weekend. So if you were a Currency Fair and you were hoping to have a great impact, and you were hoping that the Sideshow after 4 weeks would have done something for you, or you're giving me sponsorship, you probably would have been extremely disappointed. Yeah, sorry about that, lads. There's kind of nothing I can do, really. But you listened, and that's all I've really asked for. The last 4 episodes, as by the way, Laura Garnett of Perennial, Leah Leendertz of The Telegraph, she writes there weekly, Matthew Podash, curator of RHS Garden Wisley, and Rob Hardy of Hardy's Cottage Garden Plants. That's what Fiona and Tim would have been listening to. That's a nice list, I guess, isn't it? Let's leave that there. Again, at Sud Show on Twitter, if you're stuck for anything, sudshow.com, facebook.com/thesudshow. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. David Richardson.
Brought to you by Currency Fair. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sud Show Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon. You are tuned to another episode of the Sud Show at Sud Show on Twitter, sudshow.com, and facebook.com/thesudshow. In my company today is
David Richardson.
David, we know each other through a former guest of the show, Darren Jacques, but for those who don't know you, what, I guess, is your job title? Is that the easiest way to ask the question?
Yeah, I think so. So at the moment, I'm Director of Horticulture and the Mediterranean for an organisation called the Commonwealth War Graves Commission, and we look after war cemeteries in 155 countries in the world. We've got about 800 gardening staff, and so we're a big gardening organisation. And
let me just soak all of that one in, because there's the first part that you said, and I mean this as sincere as I can say it, was that it was Mediterranean, and my eyes kind of lit up. And
sure.
And then it's also the Graves Commission. Have I got that right?
War Graves Commission.
War Graves Commission, yeah. My apologies. So I gather, on one hand, you get to travel a lot.
I travel a fair bit, and I've been living in Cyprus for the past 6 months. So we've got a big operation there. Just think of Second World War in particular, Italy, Alamein in Egypt, stuff in Tunisia, Malta, Algeria, Morocco. So I've been traveling in the Mediterranean quite a bit. We've got an office in Cyprus, and so from there, I'm responsible for the operation in the Mediterranean.
How do you end up with a job like that? So to backtrack on that one, so when we speak to Paul Martin, and I know Paul's career, and he's talking about growing, you know, roses and putting them into competition at five, and then, you know, many moons later, or some moons later, you see him at, you know, Chelsea, and he's doing his thing.
Sure.
Did you go and study the horticulture?
Yeah,
thing?
I did. I mean, you'll hear from my accent, I'm originally from Dungannon in Tyrone,
yeah.
But I left a degree in horticulture in Bath in England, applied for one job because I decided I didn't want to carry on studying, and worked for the Commonwealth War Graves Commission in France, and 30 years later I'm still with them, and I've made my way through the ranks. So I always had an interest in gardening. My family were great gardeners. My grandmother was from Kells in Kilkenny,
yeah,
and she was a great gardener, so we've had gardening in the family, and it's been a pretty good profession for me.
What I know, and for those aware at home, when we chatted about this earlier, we've had Glasnevin Cemetery, now Glasnevin Cemetery Museum, on the show. In fact, they had three episodes aired with us some years ago. It's not, how would you call it? It's not the landscaping of a park that you're looking after. It's a totally different type of horticulture and landscaping. Is that a fair question?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it really depends, because we've got graves in churchyards and cemeteries all over the country, all over the UK and all over Ireland. So people that died in the First World and Second World War and were buried at home in their local churchyards. But what we're known for, I suppose, are those big cemeteries. You think of the Battle of the Somme. And the layout is, of course, very pristine. There's a lot of very formal horticulture. And we had Gertrude Jekyll working with Edwin Lutyens as one of our original designers. But, yeah, the style is quite formal. It's quite formulaic. And I suppose we're very into quality, because quality standards and something that looks like what people would say is an English garden is really the essence of what we're doing.
I have a double question on this one. You mentioned Lutyens, who would have designed and built the War Memorial Park on Island Bridge in Dublin, a place where I worked when I was going through college. Is there a connection there between Lutyens and the I guess, places of, how do you call it, rest for those who were involved in war?
Absolutely. He was the architect of the empire. And like it or not, he was one of the eminent architects at that stage. So, of course, he was working in New Delhi with Herbert Baker, but he was working for us. And the monument that perhaps he's best known for is the Tiepvel Memorial on the Somme, which has got names of lots and lots of Irish regiments on it. So there's a real connection, you know, to Ireland with that memorial. You know, they were forces of the empire, that aside, but you know, the names are there, and that's the key thing for us as an organization. It's about remembering the names of the individuals, and it's and it's really exceptional because it's regardless of creed, religion and rank, they're all treated in exactly the same way.
As regards the amount of places, what kind of numbers? You mentioned the number on staff. Did they have it at 300?
No, we've got about 800 gardening staff worldwide, and we commemorate about 1.7 million war dead. So First and Second World War, 1.7 million, you know, names. Some of those are individual graves and cemeteries. Some of them are names and memorials. And some of them are in registers because there are places like Iraq where we have cemeteries which we can't maintain at the moment. But, you know, the treatment is the same. We remember the individual. And remarkably, you know, 100 years later after the First World War, the interest in families and your history and where you came from has never been greater.
We'll sidetrack just for a minute because the sod show, I guess, has always been a little bit about getting to know the person. It's also the backstory, and it's, I guess, in this case, been a little bit courteous and respectful to the job, I guess, and the role that you have as well.
Sure.
The person behind the scenes, you strike me as an extremely happy fellow. You have a lovely manner about you. Were you always this giggly?
Always. I'm pretty good humoured and good natured. I like working in teams, so that's really important for me. I grew up in a small community, so the whole interaction with people is really important. I mean, you can't come from Ireland and not be part of a community, regardless of what the community is. And, you know, I moved away 30 years ago, but I still feel very connected to that. And the whole, you know, idea of working with people. And last week I was in Israel. We got a great site in Beersheba. You know, you'll know it from biblical days. And I was there having breakfast with the gardeners around the table.
That probably sums up the Irish element in a sense when you take the 800 staff into consideration and you're down sitting having breakfast with the lads.
Yeah, brilliant. That's it. Yeah.
So what's the first love for you? I know there's a role and I know there's a title and a title that you pay a lot of respect to and a job that you fulfil extremely well. But what's the love for you? Did you grow stuff? When it's not a stereotypical question, but did you grow stuff as a kid? Did you do the competitions like Paul?
Yeah, I didn't do the competitions, but I was definitely into growing stuff. And I remember my mum and dad buying me a greenhouse when we moved house. And as I said, I had aunts and uncles and relatives that were all great gardeners. So I always had it in me. But the thing for me in terms of the organisation, what's important and why I work for them is I always wanted to do something that had a value and a meaning. So you can produce plants and, you know, work in gardens, but this is much more than that. It's got a real sense of meaning and value for people.
I, as an individual, always wanted to drive past a place and therefore it had to be a public place and say to my mom or your significant other, who doesn't want somebody to be proud of you, you know, and that's all that you would ever kind of, thank you so much, seek from being a child with kind of parents, to be quite fair. But to turn around and drive past somewhere and say, I played a role. I'm responsible for that.
Sure.
It for me, it was that I think it was 26 years of age, and Donegan Landscaping was a year in business, not even, and it was the entire avenue of a golf course. And I remember driving past it and bringing, you know, my girlfriend at the time up past it and saying I did that. It wasn't obviously that exciting, but in my head it was.
Sure.
Is it that buzz that you're? I'd say buzz, but.
I mean, we don't do a lot of new landscaping, and so what we're really into is trying to conserve and preserve and work out what's significant about the places that we're looking after. So in a way, they're like historic monuments, and we're starting to treat them in that way, and we're creating conservation plans. So for me, it's about legacy. It's about leaving something that, you know, is sustainable. And I don't really want to leave my mark on things, though I would say I worked in the Far East quite a lot, and I worked in India, and I have a real thing about royal palms, Royston-ia regia. So there's quite a lot of those planted in a lot of places that I worked, because they're brilliant plants, architectural, very little leaf litter, you know, they're easy to maintain. But I don't really want to leave my mark. It's not about me. It's something bigger than that.
Well, I do, and I appreciate that. And again, I'll go back to the interview with the Glasnevin Cemetery Museum, and there is a point of which they can only do X, but they can enhance it slightly. They may be able to do things that are, I won't say a little bit different, to leave a stamp on it, like you rightly said. In a lot of cases, that may be disrespectful, good for your name, but essentially not very good for your name, if that also makes sense.
Yeah.
But gardens, horticulturally, let's take it on that level, gardens evolve, plants evolve. Sure. If you even take a lavender hedge, for example, there's a shelf life in it before you have to turn around and go, this needs to come out.
Yeah.
And also there's a crew of 800 people who will turn around to you logically and say, maintenance-wise, this does not work. I know this was in Lutyens' plan. I appreciate that, but God almighty, David, please, will you just help us help a brother out?
Yeah, and we're very into practical solutions. So, you know, you have to be really careful about not creating something that is even more maintenance intensive. And one of the things that we do at the moment in France and Belgium, where the majority of the work is, we've got 350 gardening staff. In most cases, we're using mulching decks, so we're not collecting arisings anymore. We're not boxing and cylinder mowing anymore. So we're really conscious about labour costs and also water. So in the Mediterranean, we're trying to use indigenous species only because they're less water requiring, but absolutely trying to get something that you'll go in and say, gosh, that really looks cared for, but is not overly maintenance intensive.
So to backtrack slightly, you said that you don't want to make change and not put your name on things, but I think by its own time's own course, it seems to me that you're having to evolve the gardens gradually anyway. Is that a better way to put it?
Yeah, it's true. And also, you know, 100 years on, they look sort of different. So we're not trying to maintain them as new. And they do evolve, but they have an essence and a sense to them and a layout to them that's really important. And you can maintain that and retain that without, you know, getting rid of all the flower borders. So it's about keeping the spirit of the place, and that's the thing that's really important, but it's also really hard to define. So getting into, you know, conservation management plans is a way of understanding what's important about somewhere. So I've been traveling a lot recently, but I was in Turkey, for example, and we've got Lone Pine, which has got this magnificent landscape, you know, on the Gallipoli Peninsula, and you're trying to capture the sense of that place when there's development everywhere else. So you walk into one of our sites, whether it's in Turkey where, you know, we only have seasonal grass, or it's in France where we have the red roses and green grass, but you get the same sort of, wow, you know, I feel this is being looked after. There's a real special sense of this place.
Do you consider yourself, and I'll ask this on two levels, but do you consider yourself fortunate to have the position that you have? I say fortunate in the sense that you get to do something that I guess helps to, it pays tribute, it pays a homage, it's a remembrance, it's a quite a privileged position.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It really is, and you can sort of forget, you know, what you're dealing with until you go into a site and you look at a headstone and you see, you know, inscription, the family had the choice of words that they used. And it's very poignant. I mean, it's really moving. And I've done lots of things in my career, but one of the other things I did was project and managed an excavation of a mass grave from the First World War. And I did that it opened in 2010. And we found 250 sets of remains. And using DNA, we've identified about 170 of those. And you sort of think, you know, 100 years on, it's really not going to be that important. But when you see families there at the graveside where their family member is buried for the first time, It's like a funeral, a contemporary funeral, you know, and it's really important to remember that. For me, you know, I come from Ireland and I sound as though I come from Ireland, and I'm not trying to, you know, get rid of that in any way. It's really important to know where you come from. I think it's really grounding. But for families, it's really important for them because the sort of the histories that get passed down from generation to generation, even though they mightn't have known the person, they'll know the stories that their grandmother told, their mother who told them about this character, this person who was part of their family and never came back.
When we take it that you from a horticultural level, I've been personally to Kirstenbosch Botanical Gardens in South Africa. I've equally been to gardens in just outside Mullingar in Ireland. They are two very different places.
Sure.
I've been to the island of Madeira, and I've gone to the Monte Palace Tropical Gardens there, and equally I've been to them in the south of France. You go to somewhere like South Africa, and you're talking to some of the gardeners, and you're saying, you know, this plant, I can't believe that I'm actually sitting here watching this grow. This is I've reached the promised land, and I'm talking to the gardener beside me, and he goes, oh, they're a weed, we hate them. If I see another one of them, and you're going, no, this is a prized thing, and he's going, no, you're from Ireland, it's a prized thing, it looks like a very tall cactus, it's not, it's a weed, I want to flatten it with a lawnmower. You, on the other hand, have to have, I guess, that knowledge and that understanding of so many different climates,
sure,
so many different plant species, and how one plant species might grow to my simplified example for maybe some listening at home, of between one of Ireland and one of, let's say, South Africa, one of Madeira maybe in the middle.
Yeah.
Yours is very, very, very far-fetched.
Yeah, I mean, you have to sort of acquaint yourself with tree species and plant species. I would say, being in the Mediterranean, being out on site recently a lot with gardening staff, I have lost so many of the plants that I used to know, so that's just sort of an embarrassment. But, we do use local contacts, and we expect the managers on the ground locally to really know their plants well. I've a good idea about it, but it's sort of interesting you're talking about things and weed species, and I think that's a really interesting thing for us, because we're also very conscious of the use of pesticides and the withdrawal of the use of pesticides and the expectation of green, weed-free grass. And I was in Greece, in Doiran, in the north of Greece, magnificent memorial on this amazing sort of hillside, and there were weeds in the grass, and it was like a floral meadow. It was absolutely fantastic. So I'm not a purist in terms of green grass, for sure.
David, I was in Ypres and Flanders May 22nd, 23rd, 2015, yeah, over a year ago. And what you said was, like, I'm thinking of the Menin Gate, where the names are of where they don't know where they're buried.
Yes.
But where you do have them, and the families did the inscriptions. And but on the Menin Gate, the rank isn't important. All the names are alphabetical by, yeah, garrison or whatever.
Yeah.
And what I'd like to comment on is that when you go to all the different places, from the German cemeteries in France, which are as well kept as your own, that there's an equality of standard throughout. There isn't like some that are falling behind. Everything is very much to a very high standard.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And we all have our different styles of how we do it. So the Americans have, velvet grass and white stone immaculate. The Germans have a much more landscape feel to their sites and a very somber feel to them. The French have crosses, and they would often have a lot of flowers. And I suppose the Commonwealth ones do have a certain sort of British Isles garden feel to them. Yeah,
we're in a kind of a period of a centenary time where there's a lot of celebrations or commemorations of things that happened 100 years ago. Is there a lot of extra people turning up to your sites, and is there the horticulturists will tell me about those kind of corrugated honeycombed, yeah, grass things, yeah, that to protect them, what, yeah, sort of things you have to cover for all this, yeah, extra footfall that you're getting?
Sure, I mean, wear and tear on sites is inevitable, but the thing that we really want is people to come into the cemeteries. So the wear and tear, if it's a consequence of lots of people coming, that's not a bad thing. But absolutely, in sighting of signage and paths and wet grass in poor draining ground in northern France in the middle of winter isn't very wear resistant. So we do use a lot of protection. We're also using a lot of technology in terms of just trying to make grass swards more wear resistant, using different types of grass species, doing lots of cultivation methods. But it is a real challenge. And, in Turkey, we get tens of thousands of people visiting the sites there. The Gallipoli Peninsula is as important for the Turks because of Ataturk, as much as for the Australians and New Zealanders who you'd always associate with Gallipoli. And the wear there is very hard to counter. If you get really heavy wear in the Mediterranean, no water, it stays like that till the autumn, till you get a bit of moisture.
Were you involved in the Round Tower, the Irish Tower?
No, I wasn't personally. I mean, I do know where it is, but I wasn't, no.
It's an absolutely wonderful place, and we were there with a wonderful tour guide which made our tour, but we're told how it was opened by Queen Elizabeth and Mary McAleese,
no, yes, that's right,
our president,
yeah,
from your neck of the woods.
Yes.
And if you ever go there, listeners of the Sod Show, do check out the, is it called the Irish Round Tower?
I think it's called the Irish Peace Park.
Irish Peace Park, yeah. With a round tower you will recognise, you'll see it from afar on the hill.
But also, if you think you're not connected to it, you need to go to the Menin Gate in Ypres, where they play the last post every night. My goodness, that'll send tingles up your spine.
David, you were in conversation this afternoon when we were talking with Darren Jack, and you're with another lady called Sue from the RHS, the Royal Horticultural Society, now at this stage of the game, very good friends of the show. Do you have an involvement with the Royal Horticultural Society?
Yeah, we do. I mean, I know the people there, they know us. We're obviously very keen to encourage good gardening, and, you know, people going to colleges and getting RHS qualifications are the sort of people that we want to employ in the future. We've also got very strong links with Kew Gardens, because one of the original directors of Kew was our botanical advisor. So we are connected in the horticultural world. We have, as an organisation, kept ourselves apart a little. So I've made great efforts to be involved in much more mainstream horticulture.
If I was to ask you for one moment in all of the things that you have done in a very surprisingly but beautiful job title, number one, but also career, is there one that kind of stands out to you over the course of all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think opening of this cemetery in Fromelles in northern France, where I was responsible for the excavation of the mass grave and the identification of the remains, and also the building of our first new cemetery in 50 years. So that was just really special. And it was a magical place to work. I worked with a wonderful team of archaeologists and construction people, and it was really great.
How do I say this? Because, again, it's to try and treat this with a little bit of respect and a little bit of courtesy, but for a gardener's highlight, if I can put it in that category,
sure.
This is probably not the answer that one would expect if you started with the sentence of, I am a garden horticultural person,
yeah.
This is the highlight. Is that what you anticipated, maybe, did you ever see that as it?
No idea. And I mean, it was a sort of project management job, and I never thought I'd be affected by it in the way that I was. But I think because people were so interested in it and it was so important, that was the thing that really registers with me. And of course, you know, if you ask me about the gardening things, I loved working in Singapore and Malaysia, and just the growth of plants there and the stuff that, you know, you saw in greenhouses and had as house plants and you were growing them outside. Fantastic, really fantastic.
If people want to get in touch, if people want to find out more, there's a website and there's contact details.
Yeah, there are Commonwealth Wargraves Commission, if you look us up on the website, and it's www.cwgc.org, and there's heaps of information there.
Excellent. David, thank you so much for your time. Been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Very welcome.
And that is it for another episode of The Sod Show. Thank you so much. Thank you so much to our guest. It is our guest, isn't it? Me, you, well, on this occasion, to David, for coming on and taking the time to have a chat. You would have also heard Brian's voice in there as well. It's good to hear that again, isn't it? Let me see. Who else? Oh, yeah. Currency Fair, our sponsors. And genuinely, thank you, lads. Without you, without you listening, they wouldn't have given the sponsorship thing. And without you listening and then telling them, you know, thanks for supporting the Sod Show, the whole thing wouldn't have happened. But we also wouldn't have had the previous four guests on the show. If you like what you heard today, go back, listen, and equally tell them guests who took the time to come on the show. They everybody needs a bit of love and a hug now and again, don't they? Yeah. Well, from me to you, thank you. From me to Currency Fair, thank you. Genuinely, I hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll chat soon. Take care. Sloan. @Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSod Show and SodShow.com.